This is Global Air Force.
Little did I know, especially with the marijuana that in the past has been classified as a gateway drug, which certainly fits.
Mm-hmm.
Little did I know that the teenage years would be the beginning of a drug and alcohol addiction, which would span over a period of 28 years.
And here's your host, Jim Rohn.
Praise the Lord, it is another beautiful day. Today we have something for you. Some of you listeners out there need to hear what we have today. I have a man in the studio with me now that's gone through a lot of things. He's been on a lot of journeys that I think he wants to share with you today. He's organized what he wants to tell you, but my friend, somebody specifically out there is going to need to hear what he has to say. It's valuable. This can save your life today. And this man is David Lopez. It's a ministry that takes you beyond just what you learn in church and puts you into action. It gets what Jesus did way back then, right up today in the here and now. David, hi. Great to have you here today.
Hello, Dr. Rohn. Well, I have to, first of all, I want to say it's an honor and a privilege for me to be here. I'm here because the Lord has had grace and mercy upon my life. I believe that it is my responsibility through my past, my testimony, to reach the lost, to reach anyone that might be struggling with drugs, alcohol, feeling unworthy, feeling hurt, pain. I believe that is the reason why I'm here.
Wow. Can't get any higher calling than that. So you've gone through all these things, these topics that you brought up. You've gone through this stuff?
Yes, I have.
What's the story?
Well, I'd like to just start that the enemy, at a very early age, and I believe it was approximately 6 years old, began to try to corrupt my thinking. And how did this take place was the babysitter that I had at that time molested me. Now, being a child of 6 years old and not really knowing, being a young boy, being curious, she started to have sex with me. And here's the thing.
6 years old.
Mm-hmm. 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because of being so young, being a boy, curious, the enemy actually had me believing and had twisted my belief that it was okay because it was a female.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, for many years, even past the age of being 18 and being an adult, I continued to keep it a secret. It wasn't till recently, maybe a month or two ago that...
A month or two ago? You kept it hidden all that time.
And so the reality is that I lived for many years with a twisted mindset, thinking that it was okay. In some way, I kind of thought it was cool because I was so young and I had sex with a
cool.
girl.
Uh-huh.
That is the type of twisted mind I had. And so the enemy worked on me at an early age. This led to pornography, led to adultery, led to lust. And so I struggled with those things for many years, thinking that it was all normal, keeping it a secret, living a life of lies.
Yeah, you thought it was normal. I think a lot of people think it's normal, but they're miserable.
I thought it was normal, and those that I felt comfortable sharing part of those experiences, they pretty much had the same type of thinking.
Mm. In other words, this may be more common than people think.
Right. And so the enemy had started to work on me at the early age of six. Not only did I have problems in relationships, because I couldn't have just one woman, I felt I needed to be with more than one woman. And that's aside from the fact that I wasn't married, so therefore I engaged in fornication. But so this took place for a large part of my life. Now, as I moved into my teenage years and felt not only the need to fit in like many teenagers do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Admired and all that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, the peer pressure.
Yes.
I started to smoke cigarettes. I occasionally drank alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And also started smoking marijuana. Now, little did I know, especially with the marijuana that in the past has been classified as a gateway drug, which certainly fits.
Mm-hmm.
Little did I know that the teenage years would be the beginning of a drug and alcohol addiction, which would span over a period of 28 years.
Oh my, lost years, some.
Lost years, and the way that it started was, not only did it start through wanting to fit in, the peer pressure, and this continued into adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to function. I was a functioning addict.
Mm-hmm. It means you could work. You worked.
I worked. I was living with the mother of my children mm-hmm. at the time. So I had a family which I was raising as a functioning addict. And also I was hiding some of these addictions mm-hmm. from the mother of my children. I did this for many years. Eventually, it did destroy that family.
Mm.
Now, I do have to say this, that I am thankful today that I do have a relationship with my children, which are grown adults.
Mm-hmm.
They know the transformation that the Lord has done in my life, including their mother.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Miracle.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It's a miracle. It's funny that you would mention that word miracle, mm-hmm. because the fact that I'm here today is a miracle. And the reason I say that is that I had a couple of personal experiences. To start, I overdosed on heroin, which is a very addictive drug. And I had drunk a large amount of alcohol. The combination of the two caused me to OD. Now, my reality was that when I did open my eyes, and I'm thankful that the Lord permitted me to open my eyes, was that I had an EMT in front of me, a police officer to my side, I had an intravenous going into my arm, and I also had some patches with metal on my chest, which I was prepared to be given electroshock. So I feel very blessed. The fact that the Lord gave me the opportunity to open my eyes, that the Lord didn't turn his back on me, that he did not abandon me, that he gave me another chance. Now, what I'm going to say next is where the insanity kicks in. And here is what took place 6 months later from that overdose. There was a second overdose. And you would wonder, why after going through an experience like that, why would you ever take a chance of taking your life, even though it was not intentional? It was so bad, the addiction I had, that it did turn into an insanity. The second time I overdosed, I apparently was laid out in the grass, and the girlfriend I had at the time was giving me mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. I only know this now was because she told me, so I was totally out for the count.
Mm-hmm.
When I did open my eyes, I found myself strapped in an ambulance, mad as to why am I in an ambulance strapped. I just was mad about that. Then it all came to me. I had overdosed a second time. And I'm wondering at that point, what am I doing with my life? However, the addiction, the drugs, the alcohol, I seemed to believe that it was stronger than me. I couldn't find a way to stop. Now, Little did I know that not only did I endure overdose and then a second overdose, my family would turn their backs on me, friends, everyone would turn their back on me. I found that my new best friend became incarceration. And Dr. Rome, I wish I could really say that I learned after the first time. The truth of the matter is that I must have went to jail a dozen times.
A dozen times.
To be exact, the number's probably 13. And that's one of the reasons that I know that me being here is a miracle. Because the Lord, not only did he give me a second, a third, a fourth, the fact is I don't know how many chances the Lord has given me. It's too many for me to count, because for many years I have turned my back on the Lord.
How'd you do that? I mean, did you come to a place of realization that you needed him? I mean, how'd you know you were turning your back? Because some people are blind. How did you know that that happened?
I was blind, but now I can see.
I think we're going from a story into the sermon. Yeah, that was just the introduction. Okay.
And it is such a blessing that I can see. Being able to see these days has been through a long journey. And of course, repeated incarceration. It wasn't until the very last time, and I'm claiming it the very last time, which was in 2007. Doesn't seem that long ago. I mean, I can remember the details of practically everything.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there is things that sometimes we'd rather not remember, but...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, I surrendered my life over to the Lord, and this was approximately September of 2007, and I found myself in the Dauphin County Prison, which... My understanding was, at the time, it was considered one of the three worst county jails in the nation. Now, I had surrendered my life over to the Lord. I decided that, or the Holy Spirit within me revealed this to me. What I did know was I couldn't live that type of life anymore. I wanted to live a normal life. I no longer wanted to live my life waking up thinking, how was I going to get high? How was I going to get drunk today? I don't have any money, but I'm sure I'll figure a way of doing it. I did not want to live my life anymore that way. I didn't want to live my life the law looking for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because after repeated incarceration, I found myself being on parole, having to live because of consequences. I had to be accountable. And because many times I felt I couldn't be accountable and report, I ran. I didn't report to my parole officer, which of course made things worse. But going back to 2007, September, where I surrendered my life, I surrendered to the Lord. I said, I just want to live a normal life. I want to be a responsible father. I just want to have the things that we all would like to have.
Normal life. Mm-hmm.
Never
had that.
My life has been, for most of it, dysfunctional. And because of me not taking a hold of that, surrendering my life over to the Lord, that was the type of life that I was providing and offering for my children, bringing them up in that atmosphere. Now, I would like to say that I was released from jail in January of 2008. When I was released from jail, I had a pending drug charge, and I had $100,000 bail. However, the Lord gave me grace and mercy. I was released from jail, and the miracle of this was I was released from jail without paying 1 cent.
You mean to say you owed $100,000?
I had $100,000 bail on a pending drug charge, a felony. Originally, I had 15 charges brought against me.
15 different charges.
All drug-related.
All drug-related, uh-huh.
10 of those charges were considered a category of felony. A felony carries a sentence of up to 7 years.
Okay, so that could have been up to a maximum of 70 years.
That is correct.
That would be the most of your life, maybe all of it.
In addition to that, I had 5 other charges. Drug-related also. So I went from 15 charges down to 1 charge. And to get out of jail, I was not to be released from jail with no less than 10%, which would mean someone would have to post $10,000.
Okay, on the bond.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And of that, nothing was paid.
You had no friends by then, huh?
I had no friends, I had no money, I had nothing. So, when I got released from jail in January of 2008, knowing that the reality is that I shouldn't be out of jail. However, this time, what was so different, aside from the fact that the Lord got my attention and permitted me to be released, was that this time I didn't leave Jesus at the door.
When you were in jail, you had a different attitude?
Yes. Not only did I surrender my life over to the Lord in September of 2007, so I was in jail for a period of 6 months. One day is too much in jail, and I was there 6 months. I must have lost between 20, 30 pounds. I had no money I had no one to drop money off to me for commissary. And so I found myself losing weight in jail. And this time, not only did I go to regular church services in jail and read, I read a number of books in jail. Was reading my Bible. This time I did not leave Jesus at the door.
Yeah, interesting, yeah.
I found myself through a period of 9 months, because that is the amount of time it took before I was finally sentenced for the drug charge. I found myself each day wanting more and more of the Lord. But during that period, I found it very difficult because I was in a state of mind that I did not know what was going to happen. The drug charge that I had pending, which is they classify it, or it's called a PWID, possession with intent to deliver, was a mandatory sentence of anywhere from 1 to 4 years upstate in an jail. Now, I will have to say that the outcome of that, the day of sentencing, not only did I not serve not one day of that sentence, praise the Lord, I was given electronic monitoring for 1 year. There were consequences towards getting my license back, having to take classes. I'm currently on supervision still. I'm towards the end of it. But I'm at a different place today. Not only did the Lord free me of that sentence, He's done so much more. Now, what do I mean by that? He's permitted me to know truly who He is. One of the ways that He's done that is by bringing me to this school, the Global School of Supernatural Ministry. The Lord had sent, I call her the missionary, a former student to my doorstep at the time, and I continue to do this, I was I'm a computer technician. And so she came to my house looking for a laptop. And the way we met, this was at the market in town, the Broad Street Market. I gave her a business card. The scripture on the business card is what brought her to where I was living at the time.
What was that scripture?
That scripture is Psalms 89:16. In thy name all shall rejoice, and in thy righteousness they shall be exalted. Now, we had had a conversation over an hour about the Lord and nothing about computers.
Oh, my.
So I, even being a new Christian that I was, understood that the Lord was speaking to me through her.
Divine connection.
Divine connection.
Mm-hmm.
She also understood this also. And I am thankful to her that the Lord would use her to reach me. It was because of her that I found out about the school. And at the time, I actually had other plans. I had plans of furthering my education and improving my resume as a computer technician. So I was going to go to the local college in Harrisburg, HAC.
Okay, uh-huh.
And I truly believe that I would have no problem going there.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have doubts. I did not truly believe that I would be accepted to Global. So what eventually happened was that the doors got closed of any possibility of going to HAC.
Mm-hmm.
And that which I thought...
You wouldn't get in. You got in here.
Exactly.
Here we are. This girl comes to your door for a computer laptop, and she sees a verse of something on your... a verse of scripture? What was that scripture again?
In thy name all shall rejoice, and in thy righteousness they shall be exalted. Psalms 89:16.
That was on your card.
That was on my business card, mm-hmm. which I had actually handed to her at the Broad Street Market.
Okay.
That there was a day that I was handing out flyers and cards.
Okay. For business, for your computer business?
To drum up business.
Okay. And that works?
It was working at the time.
Yeah, okay.
Now my focus these days is going to school, getting equipped, mm-hmm. growing,
mm-hmm.
and just maintaining, above all, my relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I do continue to work as a technician. I do it from my home part-time,
mm-hmm.
and I also clean the church where I go to.
Okay. That gives you some things to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, good. It does. And but above all, it's getting equipped that I could reach the lost, that I could help someone that might be struggling or going mm-hmm. through some of the experiences or struggles that I did in the past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the reason I'm here today.
Wow. That's the reason I'm here, too. It's like you and I were discussing, to reach one person is so important. I mean, somebody listening today, you are so important. You may not know all the work and effort it's taken for him and myself to get here and have this program to reach you with this man's story. And you're valuable to God. You don't have to believe you're lost because the Lord, he's looking for you. And are you looking for him? You don't want to live your life lost. And that's what sometimes Christians are referring to, you know, somebody not born again and these terms. But the serious thing to think about now is being lost. Lost in your addictions, lost in lies, lost in fear. And, you know, you're always running downhill. There's no hope and no sunshine for tomorrow. Do you feel you're lost today? David's come in today to share his experience in hopes somebody will say, that's me. I've had that experience. David, and you recuperated today? You recovered? Explain that. Your life today. Where can this person that's under an addiction and been involved in crimes, what kind of future do they have? What can you tell us about that?
Well, I can tell you, first of all, that if you ever would believe that, I would get down on your knees, pray to the Lord, repent of anything that you know is wrong, that is against God's word, anything that would make you feel shameful, not loved, not worthy. I have to tell you that the main reason that I grabbed onto to drugs and alcohol, it started out as wanting to fit in and peer pressure. But the reason that I never let it go was because I felt unsure of myself. I felt unsecure.
Insecure, you said. Insecure.
Insecure. I mm-hmm. felt that I wasn't loved.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, having those feelings, not being able to deal with things, I found a way or an avenue of escape through drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Now, today, the new David, the transformation, because I truly have been transformed into what I would call a new creation.
New creation.
New creation. And I have a scripture mm-hmm. to go with that. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
You mean your entire life could just start to have a new approach, or new? You have a new chance? Another chance?
Yes, you can have another chance.
Wow.
The Lord will clean that slate.
Clean that slate.
So you can have another chance. Why? Because the Lord loves us. The Lord loves each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. And that's why I'm here today, to let you know that I'm no different from any of you. That what the Lord did in my life, the miracle of giving me not only a second and third, a fourth, many chances, He did because He truly loves me. He loves all of us. And so I share this, I share my heart with you, so that you would know that the Lord can do the same for you. If you would truly surrender those problems, those burdens, the Lord can take away any problem. He could wash us, cleanse us, and you too can be a new creation.
Oh, that was great, David. We will continue with your story and ministry in the next program in this two-part series of David Lopez and His Story.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Flying with Global Air Force.